What's up, guys? Welcome to the Ask Madden Show. We are back. We are recording on Sunday, so you will not hear my kids in the background. So if you were showing up just to hear my kids in the background, I'm sorry. This is not the podcast for you anymore. Also, you're weird. And I am joined, as always, by Burnsy.
Hey, guys. How's it going? It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. You had surgery.
Yeah. Got the old sniffer fixed up, you know?
The deviated septum.
Yeah.
I went to Indiana for an event that I had. I'm a youth pastor, so we had our youth camp. And so now here we are. And we are going to be back to kind of a weekly schedule. We're going to try to probably do Sundays for the foreseeable future because I think it probably sounds better without my kids in the background, which means that our release day is Monday instead of being Friday. But it might move around a little bit. We're kind of messing with it. Anyway, lot to get to. Madden is out. But before we get there, Burnsy, I have not talked to you since the Kawhi Leonard trade that sent DeMar DeRozan to the San Antonio Spurs and bought Kawhi Leonard to, based on hearing it talk about it, Toronto is a barren wasteland of coldness where people dress like Eskimos and live in ice houses.
Yeah, essentially, right? Like it's basically a fourth world country in the winter here.
Right. And that's the funniest thing about it. People are like, he sent him to Toronto where, and it's like, dude, Toronto's like not cool. Like, you know, it's still.
Yeah. Like it's not a bad place to live, guys. Let me reassure you. Toronto's pretty nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are your thoughts? I know DeMar DeRozan. I know because from the outside here, I kind of look at it and I'm like, why would any Toronto fans be sad? Because, you know, you guys got one of the best players, one of the top five players in the league, and you gave up a very good player, but not one of the top five players in the league.
Yeah, it's like this weird like middle period, right? Because our arguably our best player in our franchise was Vince Carter, and he didn't want to be here. So that's one of the big issues that people have with this is that DeMar is either our second or first best player, depending on how you look at it in terms of peaks. Or, you know, he was here for 10 years where Vince was only here for about 5 or 6, I think. So like you compare that kind of stuff, and he's like one of our best franchise players, but.
He loved it there, right?
And he loved it here, right? Like, he was very, very loyal. He didn't take other meetings during his free agency or anything like that. He took a little bit less money even on his last deal to kind of help us out a little bit, right? Like, it wasn't a huge amount, but it was still less than what he could have got. So, I mean, like, it's kind of a weird middle period. And then to trade him for someone that's just essentially a rental for now is really what people are really concerned about. I mean, that I have to like manage my expectations and make sure I don't get too excited about it, because he could just be gone next year, or
yeah,
he could assemble
in LA,
or even based on what happened last year. I mean, he could go crazy again, right? decide not to play. I mean, it's really, really bizarre, right? Like, you can't really get a good read on the situation either.
No, it definitely is hard. And then, yeah, so that's that. I don't want to dig too much into basketball, especially since we're going to try to keep the podcast tight. Burnsy and I, one of the things we love to do is share random videos we found on the internet. And one that I found, if you haven't watched it yet, search go to your home, trash, baseball on Twitter, which I know is something you all search very, very often. And I can give a quick play-by-play. Basically, a guy gets a strike call that's not a strike and like kind of a minor league baseball. I don't know if it's unaffiliated or whatever. He starts yelling at the ref. The ref ejects him. After being ejected, not the ref, the ump ejects him. He walks off the field, gets the bullpen trash can, and while the ump is talking to the ref, puts the bullpen trash can where the ump usually stands, walks by and screams, "Go to your home."
it's really a really class video right there.
It's so good. Had he done that in his head before? Like, had he always said like was that something he had said? And then one time he says, "One of these days, I'm going to bring a trash can on the field."
Yeah, yeah. Or like, did one of his teammates say, or like one of his teammates see the trash can as the guy walked in and was like, "Yo, this up is just like this garbage man," and like that's where you got the idea from. Like, I have questions. I have questions.
He just carries it right out. So watch the video. Hit us up on Twitter. And then the other thing was, and we'll talk about this a little more. Limited edition quick sells, limited edition cards now quick sell for $500K, And in the wonderful world of Madden Twitter, someone sold a limited edition card and with the caption, "Thank you, EA, for 496,000 coin." And someone...
Which is just a little bit less than 500K.
Which is way less because he paid 10% tax on it. Like, that's the thing. Like, he paid... I mean, it's 450,000. Like, it's like right thereabouts. And probably a little less than 450,000 because if he had gotten a full 500K for it. So somebody, he probably was wondering why it sold so quickly.
Yeah, like why? That went really quick. That's always the worst thing in Madden Ultimate Team is when you post something and it sells in an instant. You're like, oh, what did I do? What did I do? Oh, did I post it for 150? Oh, no.
One time I sold like, I forget who it was, but I sold a very good card for like 1,000 and like I hit the button, realized what I had done, but I couldn't get back to the auction in time to pull it back down. Oh, yeah. Before it was sold.
Those snipers are ready, bro.
I know. So somebody writes to this gent, those quick sell for 500K. And he writes back, "I saw that. I thought it was a scam." It's so good. It's just so good.
Yeah, it's literally perfect. I can't think of a more perfect thing to happen in the Madden world than someone to see a 500K quick sell value on a card and just assume it's a scam. That's really great.
like that's how conditioned they are to be terrified. Oh my word!
Yeah, so how bad has EA hurt you? How bad has EA hurt you for you to think this way?
Quick sell for 500K. Not today, EA.
It's a trap.
You're not gonna get me.
I couldn't believe my eyes when I read that, bro. That was hilarious.
They do something good, and someone literally thought it was impossible.
Yeah, it's definitely one of the funniest things I've seen on Madden Twitter in a while.
It was good stuff, man. It was real good stuff.
Yeah, thank God the game's back.
The game is back. You got it, what, 2 days ago?
Yeah, I picked it up on Friday. I wasn't lucky enough to get a code, and my pre-order was for the regular edition.
Okay. Right. So you picked it up on Friday. You've been playing. So I'm guessing you started with solos. Where are you at in solos? Right.
Last night before bed, I just finished off campaign.
Okay.
So I got campaign all finished up with those. Man, how did we ever play full game solos? How did we ever do that, man? Holy.
I know. It wasn't even that long ago.
Yeah, like I was playing those full game solos. Like, how did I do this every single game?
And now I get mad, like, when I have to play like a full half. Like, if I start the solo and it's like, win the game and there's 2 minutes left in the second quarter, I'm like, come on.
God.
Like, what is this? So for those of you guys who are fairly new to Mutt, geez, what was the last Mutt to have them? It was my first real full year playing Mutt. And like the solos used to be, they would have like some specialty stuff, but the main chunk of solos was you would just play a team's schedule in like 2 minute quarters, 3 minute quarters, and 4 minute quarters. And you would just play the whole game.
Yeah.
I forget like how exactly it was laid out, but like, and then you would use team collectible sets or team collectibles to finish sets. It was bad. It was real bad.
Yeah. Objective solos are such a godsend, really.
Yeah, no, they're great. And I mean, it's frustrating sometimes, especially when like when you're stuck. The thing is, when you're stuck on one objective solo for an hour, it gets to a place in your soul, man.
Yeah, I understand that one.
You start screaming at guys. You're not on these yet because the next solos you're going to do, which I think are the rookie premier, the rookie gauntlet solos, mm-hmm. are like run 99 yards in 12 plays, in 8 plays, in 4 plays, in 1 play. And when you get to the 1 play one, you are screaming at guys about not picking up blocks.
You know. You start cursing at Clint? That's really what I want to hear. I want to hear a good Clint curse out.
I've never cursed at Clint.
Wait till you start playing some head-to-head. I'm sure it'll come out.
Actually, that's a nice transition. I'm not 100% sure I'll play head-to-head this year, and that is because of solo battles. Solo battles are new this year, and they are a ranked system where you play a souped-up version of the computer, and the ultimate solo battles are legitimately difficult for me. I'm trash. Like, there are people that are beating them 45-0 too, but the ultimate solo battles are tough. Have you unpacked solo battles at all?
No, I haven't. I haven't even gotten into solo battles yet. So why don't you give me a little brief rundown over how it actually works?
Yeah, I feel like I'm talking a lot, so I don't want to box you out. But so if you are annoyed by my voice, cool. If you're the guy who said the franchise part of this episode was the best part of this episode, then you're a huge Burnsy fan. You're in the Burnsy Nation. So solo battles, basically, there are three periods through the week. There is Monday, Tuesday. This isn't the best way to describe them. If you want to be accurate, they actually run into the next day until 10:29. But for the sake of argument, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday through Monday. And the previous period ends at 10:30 on the next day. And each period has four refreshable opponents. And then there's one featured opponent through the week, and you get points based off of win-loss mostly, and then beyond that, it's performance within the game. So it seems like a guy named Slump City, who is the host of the Mudhead podcast, competitor, no free ads, and he got first place during the first week, and he has an article on Mudhead. Again, no free ads, but it's good. He has an article on Mudhead about how to maximize points. I read his article and I was like, yeah, this would be super helpful if I didn't suck. No, but it is. If you don't suck, it's super helpful. But I would say it's the difference between being good and great. The difference between being bad and good is just winning the games. So basically what you do is you pick a difficulty, and the difficulties, I'm not going to remember their names, but like, it's based on like the multiplier. So the highest one is a double multiplier, and then it goes down like incrementally by percentages as you go down.
Okay.
The only one I've been able to get consistent wins on is the second from the top, which is like an 80% multiplier. This week I made myself play all of them on the highest difficulty just to see if I would like figure it out. Spoilers, I didn't. I won like three times of the 13 games. But you know, if you're not first, you're last. So I went for it. What I'm going to figure out next week, because I'm going to play all of them on the lower difficulty. And my guess is that, you know, it's one of those things where losses hurt you more than wins on lower difficulties. So if I win all of them on a lower difficulty, I'm going to end up with a significantly higher score and therefore better rewards. But what I don't know is if you can – the best rewards are if you crack the top 100. I'm pretty sure it's impossible to crack the top 100 without playing on the highest difficulty, because all of those guys are playing on the highest difficulty. But what I don't know is how high of a ranking you're able to get, because basically the ranking is tiers. And then beyond the tiers is the top 100. So if you want to just target going for tiers and saying, you know, I'm probably not going to be a top 100 type person, which I would describe myself as like a middle of the road player. Like I'm an all pro one type guy. You know, I'm not like, I rarely crack it into all Madden. All Madden 2 was like the highest I got. I'm not a tremendously good player. So I would say for your first week, if you want to just figure out how hard it is, go on Ultimate and make sure you log. And this is the main thing. You have to log specifically in the solo battles to get the opponents. So you have to log in on Monday to get Monday, Tuesday's opponents. And then you have to log in on Wednesday or Thursday to refresh and get Wednesday, Thursday's opponents. But you don't necessarily have to play the Monday, Tuesday opponents on Monday or Tuesday. You just have to get the opponents. I wrote that article that explains it much better than I'm doing right now. But basically, I could log in on Monday, unlock those opponents, come back on Thursday, play the four, and then refresh. And then I could – and then I have my Wednesday, Thursday opponents. And then I could come back on Saturday, play the four, refresh, and then have my final four. And at any point, I could play the featured opponent, and then I will have played all 13 games.
Oh, okay. So you can spread it out. You don't have to, like, lock in and be on time all the time for it.
No, it's not as tight of a window as, like, Weekend League used to be. But you do have to – you have to refresh during each of the three refresh periods to get access to those players, to get access to those opponents.
Okay.
But if you refresh with unplayed games, you get losses for your unplayed games.
Oh, okay.
So you do have to kind of play throughout the week, but it's they go pretty quick. They're 3-minute quarters. You can accelerate the clock. It actually, like, the game feels fast. It actually feels like the end of the game is, like, kind of on top of you before you notice
it. Well, you're not like, it's not like other solos where you're just, like, trying to grind and chew the clock as much, because you want to try and maximize the points that you're scoring, right? Like,
right. Yeah, it's like, You get like 10 drives, basically. Yeah. I mean, you want to maximize the points that you're scoring, unless, like, you're me, in which case you're legitimately, like, I have to try to win those games. So, like, if I get the ball back, like, in the middle of the third quarter, mm-hmm. I'm trying to run the clock out.
Yeah.
Like, because, like, and low-key, the computer cheats. just the stuff that the computer pulls off in solo battles, they cheat.
They have to cheat for them to be able to beat you, I should hope, at least, right?
They are.
You're not that bad. Hard. You're not that bad, are you?
No, because they're cheating. They be cheating. So, and then the other thing, this is really weird. For some reason, you set your playbook based on your global playbook settings, and that's going to be addressed in the patch on the 20th, is my understanding. But right now, your playbook for solo battles will not be your Mutt playbook. It'll be whatever playbook you have in your global settings from your main menu.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that was
a glitch. It's a weird glitch that mm-hmm. they're aware of and they're working on. But yeah, I want to get that out there, actually.
Okay. Have you seen what their rewards for solo challenges are like? That's
real good. Like, if you manage to break into, because I had it early because of the Game Changer program, and I had the chance to, like, had I played, like, a little better in that first week, I would have broken into the top 100 and I would have walked out with, like, a 75K quick sell.
That's pretty good, actually, for just playing some solos.
Oh, yeah. I would say the rewards are comparable to Weekend League. But they're fully, you know, offline, if you will, and you don't have to play, like, real opponents.
Yeah. Okay.
But, like, to rank in the top 100 is tough. I don't think it's easy by any, you know, only 100 people do it. So, yeah. and it's relative scores and all that. I'm really interested to see, and I'll report next week, how I do playing a difficulty level down, how much better my score is. Cause I landed right around 110K points. Cause mm-hmm. like, they calculate your points at the end. And, what I was going to say that Slump City said was, he said that, you want to actually run your offense like a real offense. So you get extra points for stuff like spreading the ball around and for, you know, running and passing and having an equal game plan and playing good defense and stuff. Like, you get a user skill bonus that is ultimately the difference between, like, you know, those guys who are in the top. Again, Slump's article is the difference between being in the top 100 and being in the top 10. It's not so much being outside of the top 100 and inside of the top 100.
Yeah, yeah. So you get you, like, over the top, right?
Right. Couple more new things, and we're 17 minutes in, so we'll go till about 30 minutes here. So if you're hanging out, thank you. Couple new things. Burnsy, you went through solos. How awesome is it to not have to deal with contracts?
Oh, it's just phenomenal. You don't have to, like, go and, like, set a weird lineup where you have, like, no backups and your special teams are all over the place and stuff like that. It's so nice to just not have to worry about it, really.
It's so good, and I didn't expect it to be so good until I played and I realized, oh my goodness, when I get a good player, I can just hit promote to starter. I don't have to, like, go in and replace my starter and, you know, take my starter out of the lineup. It's like, I can just promote to starter. Okay, now my best guys are in. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
It's so, so good. Yeah, no contracts are probably my favorite change. What about the general, what I would call, like, UI, UX, user interface, user experience, upgrading the Shazier card and the Ricky Williams card? What's your experience been with that?
It's been a little bit unique trying to, like, figure out what goes where and stuff like that. And especially, like, the quick sells, I had to buy a power up card just to kind of figure out how they work and stuff like that with the, really early on in the game before I started playing the solos. So I like the power-ups a lot. It's really cool how you can use, like, training from other cards to kind of improve your existing cards.
Yeah, so give a quick rundown on training points, just like 1 to 2 minutes on how those kind of work. And for somebody who hasn't picked up the game yet.
Yeah, so now on cards, instead of having, like, a quick sell value, which was essentially, like, nothing, like 250 coins or whatever on those 250 coins or something on, like, a gold, now you have training points. So you sell stuff and get training points, and that's what you use to power up your cards. So at the start of the game, they give you a team captain, which is a Hall of Fame player like Jerry Rice or Michael Strahan, and you can use your training points from other players to kind of power up your cards. So instead of like having to work a tedious auction market and post your cards for like 1,000 to 1,200 stuff like that, you could just sell your golds now, and instead of feeling like you lost out or you've missed out, now you just get training points for it. So it's really, really cool. A lot of the cards and even the legends have these 68 overall power up cards. And then you could just slowly add trading points onto them. So it's a nice way to kind of clear out your binder much faster. This is definitely like usually my binder is at like 500-600 items already just from ripping packs and being lazy. So it's really, really nice just to be able to go in there and just be like, oh, OK, these don't go in a diamond set. I can just quick sell it and then just be on my way.
All right, so that's training, and let's get into one more new thing. Real player motion is new this year. Do you feel the difference as you're running around?
Oh, most definitely. I mean, I didn't play a ton of 18, if we're being like totally honest and upfront with each other. I honestly just didn't like playing 18 very much, but I do enjoy playing 19 a lot more, and the real player motion is one of the reasons why.
Yeah, you know, it's crazy because 19 is really good, and I don't know, like, if 18 was what we had to pay to get to where we are now, I'm happy to have paid it.
Yeah, because that was the first year on the new engine, right? Like that's when they switched Frostbite fully, right? It was last year, right. So right. I mean, it's not necessarily an awful thing, but it seems like we had to have a struggle year to get this year.
Early hot take: this is one of the better Maddens I've played like in my life. Like, and I know you feel that way 1 week into launch, but. Man, I've enjoyed this. I mean, it's been so fun. And real player motion, I feel like it's bought back the run game because you have to run plays properly. Yeah. You can't run like a B gap run and like try to bounce it around the outside. Your guys like won't block for it.
Yeah. That's a really nice thing. And then, and also the underrated thing is that it's defense is actually a lot smoother too. Moving around on defense is a lot smoother again, whereas before it was a lot clunkier before. So I feel like the moving of the players on defense is also a lot nicer too, right? Everyone talks about the run game, but it seems like the players on defense control a lot nicer as well.
Right. And the big thing that was like frustrating for me was what you used to be able to do in the run, and I'm going to do a hand motion that you can't see, is you used to be able to like be running down the field. And if somebody was coming, instead of doing like a delay move, you would do like this Z move that people would do. Like you'd see it in tournaments. Like it was a thing where people would literally just suddenly cut left and then cut up and they would maintain full speed. And like, playing this and realizing like that they're actually trying to simulate running, you realize, oh yeah, that is completely impossible, you know?
Like there's a lot of people that wouldn't even like touch the right stick. They would just use the left stick to kind of maneuver around people, right?
Right. And now you will actually lose speed doing that. And I haven't played with like the real high speed running backs, although I am really happy. If you did rookie premier Saquon Barkley on August 14th, he gets upgraded to an 88 overall. I feel like it's a personal apology from EA for putting me through the Leonard Fournette saga last year. So if you're happy about that, you're welcome. Because Leonard Fournette had one of the best seasons of any running back and got like two upgrades.
naturally.
He landed at 91 overall. Saquon Barkley is going to be an 88 overall on August freaking 14th. Like he might stay an 88 overall for a really long time. Leonard Fournette didn't land like until the playoffs. He was like an 87, I think. Yeah. And then he was up to a 91.
He was a problem last year too.
He was a beast and he had a quarterback who sucked.
Yeah.
And like he was facing 9-man boxes and putting up 100-yard games.
I saw him twice last year. I don't want to talk about Leonard Fournette.
Oh yeah, I forgot. He was good. So real player motion, huge win for me. Another thing I like, I'm forgetting, the one cut stuff is fun. The fact that you have to run your runs properly. I saw a guy like submitting a glitch video and he's saying, oh, look, I tuned this guy's block shed all the way down to zero and he's still shedding. And I wrote back to him, no, like what's actually happening is like your lineman is chipping him and then moving to the next level. Like you have to hit your hole and go. Mm-hmm. Like yeah. he isn't like, you know what I mean? He's letting him by. It's like it's a blocking mechanic, not a glitch. And that's always the concern, right? Like, and this is what the competitive guys are starting to say, like, let's keep this game for a little bit. Because if we start tinkering like in the day one patch, you know what I mean? It's frustrating.
Yeah, I don't think they should be doing anything with the gameplay just yet. Personally, I think they should let it settle for a little bit and let people really figure it out. The stuff they should be fixing is stuff like the jerseys and the stadiums that don't look right. That should be the stuff they're patching early.
Right. There's some block shed stuff that's weird, but again, like, let's let it play out. Last thing that's new, limited edition quick sell value. So for people who haven't seen this, all limited editions now have a quick sell value of 500K. We covered that in the front. You spend money, I don't spend money. As a person who spends money, you have to love this, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, more value on cards is always great, right? We always want to have more coins at your disposal.
Right. For me, this is weird because I dislike it personally, but I like it for the game. And this is what people need to understand when they talk about being like a grinder, is like people who spend money make the mode exist.
Yeah.
So when they make decisions that don't benefit those of us who don't spend money, said as a person who has never spent a dollar on Madden, God's honest truth, they are making decisions that ultimately benefit you, even though they don't personally benefit you, because if people are more likely to buy packs, you will get better content, right? So in my mind, I'm like, well, that's a bummer because I can't buy limited editions like way later in the year. To be fair, like, it was rare for me to have limited editions on my teams in general, but this almost like removes the possibility. Because they'll never drop below 500K and they could become scarce. I guess it would be cool if they made it possible down the road, like for me to complete a set and say the completion of this set and make it super hard. Completion of this set gets you a limited edition prior to September 30th or you know what I mean? Or something like, I don't know if that's possible, but I guess that's so nitpicky that it almost feels weird to say.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like you're really grasping at straws.
Yeah. And in general, happy. And I know like we'll do the anger podcast at some point, maybe.
Once we start playing some head to head, that'll be when that happens.
Right. If you're interested in competitive, the competitive structure is online. We're not going to talk about it because when I hear people talk about stuff that I know about, I get annoyed when they talk half informed about it. And that would be the best conversation we could muster.
Yeah.
Here's what you can do to help us. Hop on your podcast platform, unsubscribe and resubscribe. That helps us get what the algorithm calls new subscriptions. So that's something we're stealing from the boys over at not Bleacher Report, Barstool Sports. They tell guys to do that. So if you really want to help us out, you've been around for a while, thank you. But if you unsubscribe and resubscribe, it helps bump us up. The other thing, 5-star reviews are huge. We actually have some 5-star reviews. I should bring them up really quick. This is going to take me a second. Burns, anything you want to say? I'm putting you on the spot, but anything you want to say to the people while I pull up the 2 5-star reviews we have?
No, I'm pretty sure I gave us one of those 5-star reviews. So,
did you write an actual review?
Yeah, I wrote like a small novel about the importance of our podcast to society, really.
Did you actually? Or are you kidding?
I'm just kidding, bro.
Oh, okay. Okay, so we have 15 ratings. We have 14 five stars and 1 1-star. The 1-star was a spam review, and I tried to get it removed, but they don't really do that. So August 23rd. Oh, hold on. We got to go all the way to the bottom here. So these are both from July. I want to thank these guys. D. Rodriguez 23 said, keep it going. Loving the insight in the podcast. I always look forward to listening to content. And AU Tiger RN said, I really enjoy the Madden info you guys provide. Thanks. And that is it for the reviews, guys. If you need anything else, we appreciate it. Hit us up on Twitter, and we will be talking to you guys soon. Peace out.